Welcome to episode 96 of Gary King's Inconvenient Truths, where Gary presents videos, stories I don't know are coming from my spontaneous and unrehearsed response. Gary, what do you got for me today?
As usual, unloaded. I had a few objections about my NASA hat. It was given to me by a very special person who's not as awake as everyone else, so I'm wearing it for her. And all you guitar geeks, let's see if you can identify that guitar right there. Okay.
Well, wearing a NASA hat doesn't mean you endorse the fake moon landings, let it be known.
Yeah, we don't want everyone to get that right now. Are we going to have a little Kamala montage? So we're starting out right here.
Elon Musk is encouraging a hilarious parody ad mocking Kamala Harris to go viral on X after California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a law to eliminate deepfake and other AI-generated content in the lead-up to the election. The law was sparked by a series of parody videos created by AI and using deepfakes to mock Kamala Harris on social media.
I, Kamala Harris, am your Democrat candidate for president because Joe Biden finally exposed his senility at the debate. Thanks, Joe. I was selected because I am the ultimate diversity hire. I'm both a woman and a person of color. So if you criticize anything I say, you're both sexist and racist. I may not know the first thing about running the country, but remember, that's a good thing if you're a deep state puppet. I had 4 years under the tutelage of the ultimate deep state puppet, a wonderful mentor, Joe Biden. Joe taught me rule number one, carefully hide your total incompetence. I take insignificant things and I discuss them as if they're significant. And I believe that exploring the significance of the insignificant is in itself significant.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time. Right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time, and there is such great significance to the passage of time.
Another trick is trying to sound black. I pretend to celebrate Kwanzaa, and in my speeches, I always do my best Barack Obama impression.
So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's tight.
And okay, look, maybe my work addressing the root causes of the border crisis were catastrophic, but my knowledge of international politics is truly shocking.
The United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. It is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
And just remember, when voting this November, it is important to see what can be unburdened by what has been. And by what has been, I mean, Joe Biden. Do you think the country went to shit over the past 4 years?
The law signed by Newsom makes it illegal to create and distribute AI-manipulated political content 120 days before and 60 days after Election Day. It also allows courts to stop distribution of the materials and impose civil penalties. The legislation aims to preserve election integrity and prevent AI from spreading disinformation. Newsom said, "I just signed a bill to make this illegal in the state of California. You can no longer knowingly distribute an ad or other election communications that contain materially deceptive content, including deepfakes." But Elon Musk, owner of X and freedom of speech proponent, has lashed out at the governor banning the ad, saying, "The governor of California just made this parody video illegal in violation of the Constitution of the United States. Would be a shame if it went viral." In a hilarious twist of fate, shortly after Gavin Newsom signed the bill, the Kamala Harris parody ad went viral with Elon Musk.
Okay, Dr. Fetzer.
I don't mind seeing a little more of that, Gary. You could get that running all day. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, Kamala Harris is a parody in and of herself. You don't have to do anything special. This is just highlighting the non-entity and hopefully will be unburdened of what is present to me, to wit, Kamala Harris in the very near future. Very good, Gary. It's great. And Elon Musk, this Newsom guy is a petty tyrant. And, you know, he doesn't understand the Constitution or the First Amendment even remotely. It's just a disgrace. Persons of his incompetence rise to a high position, but that's the Democrat Party way.
Okay, we're not finished yet. So Adolf Hitler phoned Kamala.
Octav, was ist los? Woher kommt die Schießerei?
Mein Führer, darf ich Ihnen zum Geburtstag gratulieren? Mein Führer, wir haben noch keine Meldung. Ich spreche gerade mit Koller.
Koller, geben Sie mir Koller. Koller.
What do you want to know?
Sie wissen, dass Berlin unter Artilleriefeuer liegt.
Well, let's start with this.
Hören Sie den Beschuss nicht?
Prices have gone up. And families and individuals are dealing with the realities of the, that bread costs more, that gas costs more. And we have to understand what that means. That's about the cost of living going up. That's about having to stress and stretch limited resources. That's about a source of stress for families that is not only economic, but is on a daily level, something that is a heavy weight to carry. So it is something that we take very seriously. Very seriously.
Die Russen sollen eine Eisenbahnbrücke über die Oder haben.
We must together, work together.
To see where we are, where we are headed, where we are going, and our
vision for where we should be, but also see it as a moment, yes, to together address the challenges.
Kommende Generation dankbar sein. Ich übernehme für alles die volle Verantwortung.
We have the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been, and then to make the possible actually happen.
Das sind ja nur 12 Kilometer bis zum Stadtkern. Ist der Russe schon so nah?
Well, I think culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time.
Right, and present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
And we should always find times to express how we feel about the moment that is a reflection of joy, because, you know, it comes in the morning.
We have to find ways to also express the way we feel about the moment in terms of just having language and a connection to how
people are experiencing life. And I think about it in that way, too.
Haben Sie noch Zweifel an Ihrem Befehl? Ich glaube!
We all watched the television coverage of just yesterday. That's on top of everything else that we know and don't know yet. Based on what we've just been able to see, and because we've seen it or not, doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
Ich habe mich klar genug ausgedrückt. Ich bin das letzte Bollwerk gegen diese Gefahr.
So you're now no longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house?
It's on your laptop, and it's then therefore
up here in this cloud that exists above us, right?
Von allem Anfang an bin ich so verraten und betrogen worden. Es wurde ein ungeheurer Verrat geübt am deutschen Volk.
The United States has to be consistent. There were times where we were more engaged and we saw good results. Less engaged.
And we can see where the work and the partnerships then deteriorate. So I am committed
to ensuring that we engage in an active way on the root causes, on addressing the cause and effect, and also being partners in the Western Hemisphere, understanding that we have a responsibility, and if we ignore that responsibility, it will visit itself upon us in a very domestic way. A movement that has always been about the ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been. We are demonstrating that when we have leadership in the highest offices in the land, including in the White House, who believe in
what we can do, and then when we push to make it so, it allows other people who perhaps before couldn't imagine it
to now see how it works. And we are building then
the movement in such a substantial way in terms of those who are coming into the rooms to be a part of what we know is in the best interest of obviously our country, but our world.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you.
All right, Dr. Spencer.
Oh, Gary, that was precious.
Yeah, that was that Michael was, Ivey. Yeah, Michael that Ivey.
That was so precious. Oh, my God, that was funny. And that's exactly who she is, a blithering idiot. I mean, that anyone could support this woman for a dog catcher. I mean, it's ridiculous. She wouldn't make a decent assistant at a fast food joint. I mean, it's just ridiculous. She has no competence whatsoever. She's intellectually vacuous. Everything she has to say is meaningless. And that's who she is. That's who she really is. So she needed those earrings with the little broadcast during the debate to tell her exactly what to say. In fact, I'm still not convinced it wasn't an actress. I'm actually told, Gary, there are three different Kamalas. And one of them made a mistake addressing a Latino audience by speaking in Spanish because Kamala Harris doesn't know Spanish. Oh, Gary, we're being played. It's so insulting. If you had any doubt whether a moron could rise to a high level in the American government, there's your proof, QED.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Michael Ivey, for that one. She reminds me of my third grade teacher, actually. Okay, here we go.
Good evening and welcome to a program devoted entirely to lefties losing it. Let's start, lefties, with this almighty group meltdown on CNN because Nancy Mace allegedly mispronounced Queen Kamala's name. Watch this demented carry-on.
Same and right. Kamala Harris, if
Kamala,
I want...
Kamala! You said it was
Nancy Mace.
It's Kamala! You're doing this on purpose, Congressman.
Disrespectful.
If, you can't expect people to respect your service if you don't respect
her. If a man put on skirt and walked that stage 25 years ago,
you're
she would have said
it. You're a white woman disrespecting a black woman.
That is compromising.
That's disgusting.
Let me get in here because I want
to... Did you hear that? He said, you're a white woman disrespecting a black woman. Why? By calling her the name everyone has called her for years, decades? How long was she in public life before we were told that her name should be pronounced differently? And can someone alert the president? Because he's still pronouncing it this way.
And Cam and I are here today to make a major announcement on the reference to lower.
But back to the mass meltdown on CNN. Look at the reprehensible way they treat a lone conservative woman, a woman who carries the trauma of being a rape victim and who showed far more grace than I'd be capable of facing this barrage of lunacy.
When you disrespect Kamala Harris by saying you will call her whatever you want, I know you don't intend it to be that way. That's the history and legacy of white disregard for the humanity of black people.
So now you're calling me racist.
I didn't say,
that,
I just said you weren't
BS.
A racist.
That is complete
no, you
BS.
Don't have to intend racism
no,
to
no,
accomplish
no, no, no. You are
it.
Intending that I'm
your disrespect
racist,
of Kamala Harris
that
is part and parcel of a tradition of disrespect.
It's offensive,
Congresswoman.
Why
can't you just...
I'm not calling you a racist. I'm saying what the practice is racist.
You are. You absolutely are.
No, what's disgusting
is
your disrespect of her.
Professor, she doesn't know what a woman is. And if 25 years ago,
white women don't have the ability to tell black women who paid the price of blood to make this country what it is to tell them they're not real women.
25 years ago.
They care for your babies.
Just a hysteria and hyperbole there. There's much more of that lefty losing it madness, but I won't subject you to it because this next bit is even better. Remember Don Lemon before CNN sacked him? He's back doing vox pops and being laughed at by the good folk in Jersey and Atlantic City. First, he tries to shame Trump backers by suggesting they're sexist.
Who do you support?
Trump.
I plead the fifth.
Trump for the win.
Tell me why.
I can't really call that right now, but I just feel like she's not good for president. She's good vice, but not for the actual lead role for the country.
Does it have anything to do with being a woman?
No. Mm-mm. No, because I feel like women, nah, you're not going to give me that.
Your money's on Harris.
Yeah.
Who do you want?
Trump.
Why don't you like Harris?
She doesn't have any experience.
She's the vice president. Biden. She's a senator.
No experience.
It doesn't get any better when Don talks to women.
Well, I want Donald Trump. I just feel we need somebody that has a stronger background with the military and the world in general.
She was a prosecutor and an attorney general and a senator and a vice president.
Is it there to learn what voters think or to lecture them about why Harris is better? This next interaction is frankly bonkers.
4 years ago, it was a lot better. I made a lot more money than I do now.
I know you feel that way, but that's not actually what the record shows. The economy is actually better under Biden. No, I'm serious.
What the facts show.
Okay, you know what?
No.
Imagine telling a grown man he's wrong about being better off 4 years ago because Don's figures say so. No wonder they laughed in his face. That sort of form will see Don Lemon elevated to the Lefty Losing It Hall of Fame. And he...
Okay, Dr. Fetzer.
You got a string of winners here today, Gary. I mean, look, Kamala Harris is hopeless. She's pathetic. I mean, anyone who would support her over Donald Trump, warts and all, has got their head where the sun doesn't shine. I mean, what could be more obvious than this Don Lemon? That this woman was a district attorney, an attorney general, a U.S. senator, and a vice president is a disgrace. It shows our political system doesn't work at all, that it's non-functional, that it elevates incompetence. I mean, it's a staggering indictment of American politics today, Gary. Staggering.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, on to the next thing.
The only purpose of Zelensky's incursion in the Kursk region is to try to draw the United States and NATO into a direct conflict with Russia. The Ukrainian dictator has no other plan B now. Ukraine is obviously losing on the battlefield. Kiev is losing people, losing Western weapons. With this invasion, they wanted to show that it is possible to act in this way with Russia, that it is possible to strike deep into Russian territory. I really hope that our Western colleagues, primarily in Washington, will be smart enough not to fall into this trap of the already desperate Ukrainian overdue president. I hope that they will not reach a new line of escalation with a nuclear power, which threatens the saddest consequences for the whole world. During the last Security Council meetings, I accused the United States that it is largely responsible for the situation that is happening in Gaza. Since the escalation of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, there have been several initiatives calling for an immediate ceasefire. The first initiative, by the way, was proposed by Russia. Since then, the United States has used the right of veto 5 times, preventing any decision that could halt Israel's military operation in Gaza. U.S. negotiators who are mediating a deal between Hamas and Israel are changing the terms of the deal on the spot in order to please Israel. If the United States really wanted peace in the Middle East, they have a huge number of tools that they could use to convince Israel to comply with the decision of the international community. But they do not do this, and on the contrary, play along with them. The U.S. opened a witch hunt before every election and tried to spin the narrative of the alleged Russian interference. The current U.S. administration is absolutely not interested in Americans having access to any alternative point of view. Since RT is still a very popular channel in the U.S. and around the world, Washington is trying to direct its anger specifically at RT and other Russian news agencies that are trying to convey the truth. This is an absolute persecution of freedom of speech, which is condoned by the U.S. administration. This is an absolutely outrageous situation that shows the complete degradation of U.S. society and its transformation into a neoliberal dictatorship in which freedom of speech and freedom of the media mean absolutely nothing.
Okay, Dr. Fetzer.
Well, in about 3 minutes, you heard more truth about international developments both in Israel and Ukraine in the UN, and then you're going to get out of Washington in a month. I mean, it's remarkable. The Russians telling like it is, and every American politician is lying about it again and again and again. The latest development, Gary, we got Ukraine involved in Syria, and you got Israel involved in Ukraine. I mean, the situation is absurd. It really does confirm my observation from the beginning that this was a battle over making Ukraine the new Israel. And I'm telling you, it's not working. The Kursk intervention has been a failure. We got about 10,000 more Ukrainian troops who are surrounded by Russia. They're going to be annihilated. These were some of Ukraine's best remaining forces. Russia is totally dominating. And in terms of Israel, these hits by blowing up these phones and pagers, it was militarily brilliant, but politically catastrophic. Everyone is looking at Israel with complete contempt. The evil reeks from every pore. Israel has revealed itself to be the most corrupt and foul nation the world has ever known, without any exception, Gary, bar none. What a disgrace.
I agree. Okay, this is something I got from actually local media real quick. This is about mosquitoes.
Concern prompting the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to sound the alarm on the Oropouche virus. So joining us today to discuss this virus is health educator Dr. Eric Griggs. Another thing to be worried about, Dr. Griggs. Tell us about this virus. I hadn't heard about it before this morning.
Yeah, it's another thing. This is a mosquito, and it's a vector-borne virus, meaning mosquitoes and midges. It's commonly called the sloth virus. That's where it was first described in 1955 in Trinidad. It is endemic and common in Cuba and the Amazon and the tropical regions. The concern here in the States is there was a case found in Kentucky and also in Canada where they've issued a warning.
Yeah, so we certainly know mosquitoes are prevalent here. Maybe not sounding the alarm just because you see a mosquito doesn't mean you're going to contract a virus from it. But what happens? So the mosquito bites you, you become infected. How do you feel?
Mosquito bites you in 3 to 5 days, and then you start to get symptoms of severe headache. There might be a rash, the general malaise and body aches. Rarely is it fatal or more serious symptoms like encephalitis, a swelling of the brain. But what's
is that they
problems, but okay, go ahead.
Well, Gary, what we got going on here is one of Bill Gates' experiments. He puts out billions of mosquitoes with deadly diseases because he's out to destroy the world. This man is a tyrant. His head belongs on a pike. He's done no good for humanity and a hell of a lot of damage. And I'm sorry to say, this particular guy, who seemed pretty sincere, has bought into the global warming hoax. Joe Olson, who's a brilliant engineer qualified across four different disciplines, structural, mechanical, electrical, civil, and I have done a 10-part series, Anti-Global Warming, Exposing the Hoax, over 600 million years of world history. There's been no correlation at all between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of Earth, meaning it has nothing to do with the temperature of Earth, which of course varies for multiple reasons, but none are related to CO2. And in fact, CO2 actually has the effect of cooling the Earth in three or four different dimensions and is indispensable to the production of air and water. So if you eliminate CO2, you're going to extinguish life on Earth. It's another example of the colossal stupidity we find by pseudoscientific propaganda being provided as though it were sound science. It's frankly an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. But Americans are very gullible and amenable to the influence of television, and you get a fake report like this one, they tend to believe it, Gary. Sad to say.
There you go. Okay.
I hope you blow this shit up and listen, because I've told you again and again, this administration's agenda is to control the food and control the people. Biden wants to push OSHA into an extreme heat index for outside workers. You guys want to know what he thinks is hot? 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Let me tell you, here in Tennessee, it gets humid. And I push past because guess what? My girls still got to get fed, and that's my priority. And I chose this life in agriculture to feed you and your families. And they are trying to put fear in our lives. They're trying to kill off the American farmer. I know. We moved from California because regulations were getting so bad. And they were providing water to Los Angeles and San Francisco instead of the Central Valley. And they're doing it across America, trying to regulate our land, take our land, take our water rights. It is happening. It is time to wake up and start supporting your local farmers and buy local.
Well, I like her. I like her. Very sincere. Very compelling. I like that clip, Gary. She's spot on about the problem we're confronting here. Of course, Gruesome Newsom is going to be at the center of any economic, financial, or political catastrophe. He's actually a close competitor to Kamala for incompetence. And unfortunately, as governor of California, he can really wreak consequences that are just terrible for the population of the state. I think about 1 million are leaving California a year now. It's somewhere a very high number. It's staggering, staggering. And I don't see any opportunity to have a reversal because the Democrats are so wedded to an ideology that's economically absurd and politically ridiculous and totally driven by political correctness and equity and reparations for individuals who were not slaves. They're supposed to be paid by people who never owned slaves. I mean, we're in a catastrophic situation. As the more the Democrats prevail, the worse things get. I mean, it's obvious here. I like the clip. I like her. Well said.
Okay. All right.
This is breaking news right now on News Nation Now. The Secret Service just tweeting that former President Donald Trump is safe after gunshots were heard in his vicinity. Now, the Trump campaign also putting out a statement saying that he is safe as well. That is according to Stephen Chung. He's the Trump campaign communications director. Now, you'll remember, of course, that Trump was shot at a July rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. That was almost 2 months ago to the day, actually. And the former president was, of course, hit in the ear. The would-be assassin of that attack, Thomas Matthew Crooks, was killed by a Secret Service counter-sniper. Well, Bill Stanton is on the phone with us, joining us now live. He's a security expert and former NYPD. Yeah. Bill, when you first heard this news, what are you thinking?
Well, my first thought is I hope the Secret Service is on their A game. I actually live in Palm Beach County, and I'm friends with many officers, men and women of the Palm Beach Sheriff's County Police Department, and I know that they're on their A game. So that was my knee-jerk reaction. Please, God, let the Secret Service, you know, be, you know, first team on the former president.
Yeah, well, what we've heard is that there were gunshots in the area, in the vicinity, not that there were gunshots fired at the former president. We don't want to speculate on anything like that. You know, the details are very, very scant right now. But do you have police sources? I imagine you do there in the Palm Beach area. Because, in fact, in the Secret Service's tweet that we do have, they said that in conjunction with the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, that they're investigating a protective incident involving former President Donald Trump that happened shortly before 2 o'clock. So it appears that it was in that area.
Right. So what's happening is, my guess from what I'm hearing, it was not directly correlated, but it was close enough where there was concern, because you never know in incidents like these, it could possibly be a diversion. That's how we in the protection game think, you know, first attack, secondary attack, or it could have been totally non-related. But you always must treat your principal as if there is a threat in the area. That means there's there's a potential threat to your principal. In this case, it's the former POTUS.
Yes, and you know, back in July, again, almost 2 months to the day, when former President Trump was holding that massive rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, the rallies that he's known for, and Thomas Matthew Crooks climbs on top of that building somehow and fires, is able to fire shots before he's taken out by the counter sniper. You know, this is something that people in our lifetime, you know, we haven't really had to deal with this, but it was a reality to have presidents assassinated or have attempts on their life in the past. So when you hear a headline like this, just that there were gunshots in the area, in the vicinity, and that the president is safe, of course, it takes your mind into places that, you know, you don't want to go.
Okay, Dr. Fetzer.
Well, I got a couple of things to say here about Butler. I've been a skeptic as to whether he was actually shot. Now, he came on to Greg Gutfeld's show just a couple nights ago, and they had a tremendous conversation. He was totally relaxed. It was really a joy to watch. And he said that Greg had actually inspected his ear when he took off the bandage and saw the damage. And there was Greg Gutfeld confirming he'd seen the damage to his ear. Now, I think Greg's a pretty straight shooter. Yeah, I don't see him seeking to deceive the public for even to benefit Trump. So I may be more inclined now to think perhaps his ear was clipped by that shot. I don't think the arguments are decisive here, but certainly it made a difference. With regard to the golf course event, the guy was in Hawaii. How the hell did he get from Hawaii to this golf course? How did he know to go to the golf course? How did he know Trump would be there at that place in time? He laid in wait for 12 hours. This had to be an inside job. Now, Mike Adams says DHS, Homeland Security, is providing the information about the former president's schedule to the FBI, and the FBI is running the assassins. And Gary, I got to tell you, I think that's a whole lot closer to the truth than any story we're going to get from this administration. I think Mike Adams has put his finger on it. Now, Congress has just passed a bill to give Trump increased protection, where the Biden admin is so crass and cynical, they aren't even giving protection to RFK Jr., even though he's obviously the most vulnerable of them all. Having lost his father and his uncle to assassin bullets, that's his complete disgrace. But because they want it, you've even got some Democrat politico calling it a C-SPAN, and saying, in essence, he hopes they're more successful next time around. And we have a report from Matt Gaetz that he has learned there are five different assassination teams out there after Trump now, three of which are foreign, Pakistani, Ukrainian, and Iranian. Honestly, I'm very doubtful about the Iranian. And I don't know why Pakistan would after Trump, but certainly Ukraine could be if he's planning to end the war. So I just say the House, at least, and we'll see if it gets through the Senate, moving for greater support and protection for Trump is doing the right thing. They ought to have at the same time declared RFK Jr. deserving of Secret Service protection as well. The Secret Service absurdly explained they hadn't given Trump full protection because he's not a sitting president, but they're 24/7 active for Barack Obama. They inspect every package, every vehicle comes anywhere near their glorious estate. And this guy's not only a former president, but he probably is responsible for the death of his former chef. I mean, it's all disgraceful. America is just falling apart at the seams politically, Gary, and it's having devastating effect on the public and our morale. Our confidence in our government is as low as it's ever been. And let me say, by the way, Reports have it from both that historically no one has polled as badly against Donald Trump as Kamala Harris. So Newsweek is saying Kamala is already winning states when the voting may have begun, but it's most certainly nowhere near ended. I mean, this is just absurd. And you got other fanciful tales that are telling us they're going to try to steal the election again, just as they did in 2022 and in 2020. They're going to try it again. It worked for them before. Why not give it a go? I'm only hopeful that enough measures have been taken. Many more need to be done. Abolishing electronic voting machines, a number one, that Trump will prevail if we have anything remotely approximating an honest election. Nobody in the right mind can vote for Harris. I mean, it's just cut and dry, as we've seen from these earlier clips. So I think you're on top of it, Gary. Great, great stuff.
Okay, here's a similar clip from our Razor Fist guy.
Look, you know what happened. I know what happened, so I'll not linger over long in the particulars. The possibility each of us has simultaneously dreaded and professed to be all but tragically inevitable has at last occurred. An out-and-out, unaliving attempt on Trump.
And you know, that's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to really see something that's sad, take a look at what happened. Oh.
Boy, FBI marksmanship hasn't been the same since the onset of ESG, am I right? Look, before I proceed with jokes darker than the entire Kardashian dating history, I first want to extend legitimate, heartfelt condolences, in addition to my own private prayers, to Trump's wife, his children, as well as the brave Secret Service agents who, to all outward appearances, at least as of now, were on Trump quicker than Hunter on a crack pipe. In the immortal words of Japanese heavy metal band Loudness, you are the heroes tonight. Look, you may have caught on to the fact that I find this result about as surprising as a bald-bearded guy with a podcast. And indeed, I predicted it for some time. Last I spoke with former Trump official Sebastian Gorka, he put the question straight to me. If lawfare fails to find purchase, if arrests amount to nothing, if the debates backfire and polling shows an election so far out of fraud range there ain't enough ballot printers in the Western Hemisphere to mollify the result, what then? And my sobering response was that then we run an ever-increasing alarming risk of going from ballots to bullets. It's disappointing, it's depressing, but we're fresh out of forks in the road at that point after 8 years of unironic, fully unhinged orange Hitler hyperbole imbecilically authored by a fully propagandistic press from dawn to damn dusk. You can only turn the temperature up so high before the melting pot turned chamber pot begins to reach a rolling boil, made all the more likely now that the entire tracks of the leering left now confuse opposition to Trump with a personality trait, as the almighty Norm MacDonald famously implied in one of his many hilarious Hitler bits.
This guy, there's a picture of him. Adolf Hitler. Very compelling kind of a figure. Odd looking duck. But there's something about his eyes. Hypnotic. His eyes are almost entirely black. Hold the fort. He hated Jews. I'm sick of these kind of characters. I think we should kill Hitler. Me and you, go suicide, kill him.
It's like he died 50 years ago, probably.
Did he? I didn't even know he was sick. I wish I could find a Hitler of today and go kill him.
That's a little disturbing because the Democrats are talking about Trump as a threat to the existence of democracy in America. I mean, you're getting it from Hakeem Jeffries, for example. You're getting it from Joe Biden, for example. You get it from many other lesser figures, but they all are implying that America would be better off if Trump were terminated. They did a poll like 1 in 4 Democrats support the assassination of Donald Trump. This is so undemocratic, so un-American, so despicable. And it's amusing. I mean, the guy who gave the opening, he's super intelligent, super articulate, very entertaining. He delivers a package with a punch. I like him. He knows what he's doing, and it comes through. The sequel there with the dumb guy doesn't even know Hitler died 50 years ago was actually longer than that. I mean, it's just rather ridiculous. And it was hilarious when we had Hitler on the phone talking to Harrison, trying to get some straight answers. Gary, that was a real classic, a real gem. Thanks for all of this.
All right, here we go. Since we missed 9/11 last week, and I'm sure you were a very busy man doing interviews, here's a clip that's supposedly new.
Take a look at this rare, super slow motion video of Flight 175 that hit the South World Trade Center Tower on 9/11/2001. Take a really close look, because there are two impossibilities I'm going to show you here. This video was allegedly shot by Michael Herzicani, a diamond merchant based in Los Angeles, California. The first impossibility is a real airplane couldn't have sliced through a building with a steel facade with reinforced concrete flooring and 47 steel support beams. A jet's wing can't slice through a steel building like a hot knife through butter. But that's the story the news media wants us to believe. And most people are still believing this hoax. But the second impossibility is in plain sight. In fact, I can't believe it took me over 12 years to see. Let me show you a still of this video. I've highlighted a building that's clearly behind the South World Trade Center Tower. Yet when we pay close attention to the video, Flight 175's wing should appear in front of the building, not behind it. This is a layering CGI glitch, and this proves that this video, which was seen all over the world, over and over and over again, year after year, is a CGI rendering. Thus, it's not an amateur witness video. It's a fake. And this is one of many, many faked videos put out by the news media.
All right.
Well, that's, of course, extremely interesting. Absolutely no doubt. No real plane could have made an entry into the north or the south tower. You had a massive 47 core columns connected to the external steel support columns by steel trusses filled with 4 to 8 inches of concrete, 208 feet on a side. Each floor represented an acre of concrete on a steel truss. That plane was intersecting 8 different floors. It would have crumbled external to the building, body, seats, luggage, wing, tail, falling to the ground. We got photographs of the ground. No bodies, no seats, no luggage, no wings, no tail. Didn't happen. 100% correct. Now, it's fascinating, too, when he talks about the wing disappearing behind a building in the distance. And he's absolutely correct. This is fake. The debate has been over how it's been done. Now, my argument has been there are three alternatives. CGI, as he's suggesting, video compositing, which is adding the images between the time the film is made and the time it's broadcast, and the use of a hologram. Now, there's a nose-out phenomenon and other reasons to believe it was a hologram. But most certainly we have this oddity here that it was inexplicable were it to have been real. So let's say I'm inclined toward the hologram hypothesis in part because we have hundreds of witnesses that claim they saw the plane approach a building in real time. Whereas if it had been CGI or video compositing, the plane would only have been visible after it was broadcast. So I love this. Very interesting. Everyone should scratch their head and understand, conclude at the very least, they were faking the planes in New York. And it turns out at the Pentagon, no plane wasn't even in the air that day. Actually, Flight 11 North Tower wasn't even in the air that day. And in Shanksville, Flight 93, there was no evidence of any plane having crashed there. Where pilots for 9/11 Truth, which has done brilliant work on 9/11, actually discovered that Flight 93 was still in the air after its alleged crash and was over Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, and that Flight 175, which were supposed to be viewing their hitting the South Tower, was still in the air and over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, after it had officially impacted the building. So I've done an awful lot on this, Gary. Anyone want to check it out, go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and check out one of my 9/11 specials. There's more than one there. And you'll see for yourself a rather comprehensive review of who is responsible, how it was done, and why. So thanks for this, Gary. Very, very, very good.
All right, we're coming around to the end of the show. This is in the news lately.
Father immigrated from Haiti to the United States in the late 60s as a teenager. And I want to talk about these recent comments about the Haitians in Springfield, Ohio. First, I want to say my father and I are now estranged, but I did know him in my very, very young years. And when he immigrated, he was one person, and then we're sending, you know, thousands of Haitians in one area. He wasn't beating people's pets, and he didn't practice voodoo. But he did say that most of the island, the majority of the island, does practice voodoo. The reason they eat cats is for two reasons. Number one is survival. This is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. You can't just go to a food bank like you can here, or just go to McDonald's and get some free or cheap food. Unless, of course, there's a Christian missionary there. People in the United States have a really hard time imagining that type of thing, but it is true. Second, they do animal sacrifices for their religion, voodoo. They make these animal sacrifices to these gods for different reasons. You can do your own research on this. Do I think voodoo is a demonic religion? Yes, I do. That doesn't mean, obviously, that doesn't mean that you hate these people. These people need prayer. But you can't just take over all these people from another country and expect it to work. Not to mention it doesn't fix the problems of that country. And there's more people left in Haiti that we can bring over. It's not racist to acknowledge that this is a problem.
Okay.
Oh, I like her. I like her. That's wonderful that she had a Haitian father. She's wonderful. Speaking the truth. Yeah, taking him in doesn't mean you're solving the problems of Haiti, and you're most certainly creating problems for the United States, but that's what the Biden-Harris administration wants. And they're getting all these people, these illegals, registered to vote, Gary. They're going to... I recently did an interview talking about underground bases and transportation systems, suggesting a lot of these migrants are going to be transported to different states to vote over and over again, and citing an example of one woman who was very proud that in 2020 she voted 10 times, 10 times. Wow. So you can tell the Democrats don't give an F about democracy. They don't care about the Constitution. All they care about is remaining in power, and God forbid that should continue. They have betrayed the nation. They not only deserve to be removed from office, they deserve to be tried and prosecuted for their crimes. Gary, you've had a wonderful selection today. I'm very happy, very impressed. Thank you on all grounds.
All right, this has been Inconvenient Truths, and we'll see you guys next week. Enjoy it.